when you write a really, really dark, sad song, when you play it for other people, it kind of turns the darkness into light because it's illuminating a lot of people's darkness. And so if we're all bummed out together, we can feel like we're not so alone anymore.
Common Ground and Solitude is a theme that made alternative rock not so alternative. And a voice that sweetly sang through that 90s angst returns with a new album, some new perspective, and a new calling as an author. Today in Words and Music from Studio A, it's a conversation and performance with Juliana Hatfield. Hi, this is Ben Jones. Her band, The Blake Babies, released their first album 21 years ago. She has 10 solo albums under her belt. And now Juliana Hatfield has written a memoir. Does this signal the end of her career in music? Well, there's no confirmation yet, but the result would be bittersweet. Juliana's new album is a big return and one that she truly likes. But it's called How to Walk Away. Rather than speculate, just know that you're in store for some classic Hatfield on the album. Songs raw in spirit and autobiographical honesty, but given a little pop polish courtesy of producer Andy Chase. She actually left her longtime stomping grounds of Boston to record the album here in New York City, so in addition to a new producer, there's an entirely different cast of musicians helping out, including Matthew Cause of Not a Surf and Richard Butler. But solo acoustic is how we heard the songs in Studio A during Juliana's recent visit, and we'll roll right into that session after playing something from the album. So this is Just Lust from Juliana Hatfield on WFUV. All right, this is Ben Jones on FUV. We just heard Just Lust from Juliana Hatfield's new record, How to Walk Away. And I've actually got the privilege to be sitting here in Studio A with Juliana herself. How's it going?
It's going good.
So let's get right into this new record, because I've actually had it for a little while. You sent us a copy a while back, so I've been able to spend some time with it. I really enjoy it, just the whole kind of tone of the record.
Thank you.
And one of the things I noticed is it really holds together kind of as one, and a lot of your older records have a multiplicity of producers on them. You're doing some of the work.
Right. And,
how was it working with Andy Chase?
Right? Yeah, it was wonderful. Andy Chase, who has a band called Ivy, and also has this band called Brookville.
That's a very cool project.
Yeah, and he's just such a great producer. I think that he deserves credit for so much of just the whole vibe and the sound of the album and having it be such a cohesive thing, you know. And when I first was talking to him about working together, I wasn't sure if he would be the right fit because I really love rock and roll music, and his stuff is more sort of, it's got more of a sheen, you know, like a, but it ended up working out really wonderfully, and we got along famously in the studio.
And you recorded here at his studio,
yeah,
right?
We recorded at his studio, Stratosphere Sound, in Chelsea, in Manhattan.
How was it recording in New York as opposed to Boston, where a lot of your stuff is done?
It was good to get away from home. To be out of my comfort zone is good when I'm trying to be creative, because it just I have a tendency to be kind of lazy at home. Even when I'm recording, I'll just be really, I'll slack off, even in the studio. But being in a kind of a relatively foreign environment kind of kicks my butt, you know, makes me sort of just be awake and have to work a little bit harder.
Did you write the songs here in New York, or were those
in
Boston?
No, the songs were all written up in Cambridge, but all of the arranging happened in New York with Andy. We did a lot of pre-production at his home studio, and there was just a whole lot of work put into just the arrangements and the finding the right keys and the right tempos, just a whole lot of work, that the kind of work that I usually don't do before I go into the studio. Yeah. And as a result, I think the album sounds very, very well put together.
And was it a lot of the same musicians that you are usually playing with?
No, it was a bunch of new people. It was a lot of people that Andy recommended. The rhythm section were New York guys, Ethan Eubanks on drums and Jeff Hill on bass. Jeff plays in Rufus Wainwright's band. And Jeff and Ethan also played in the live version of Brookville. And then we had Jody Porter from Fountains of Wayne come in and do a bunch of guitars. And yeah, just like New York people. And Richard Butler, of course, came in and sang on a song. And all these people were people I wouldn't have had access to in Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we hear a song off the record?
Yeah, this is a song called Shining On.
Shining On. understand where the pain is coming from. Were you accused of things you didn't do? Or were you standing in the middle of a dream coming true? Every light in my mind goes shining. Tears and lies released from memory. We will always be beautiful on the night we kissed in the stairwell before we really knew each other yet. It may not be easy, but we need to forget all the shining on. Every star at dawn goes shining on. Every setting sun goes shining on and on and on.
All right, that's Juliana Hatfield live in Studio A doing Shining On from her forthcoming record, How to Walk Away. And I'm glad you played that song because in a way, I think it stands out on the album, actually in a few ways, because sonically, it's one of the most full songs on the record. I don't know if
yeah.
you got that same sense. And I was actually reading that it was mixed by a real, you know, New York kind of staple. David Kahn was in the studio.
Yeah,
it
sounds that way. Because of him, you know, he mixed it, and that's the only song in the album that he mixed, and he's just, he's really good at what he does, you know, and I'm a big fan of his. He's produced so many records, and he's just worked with so many people, and he was nice enough to take the song and just kind of play around with it, and he came up with this really lush-sounding mix that I love.
And it kind of fits because another way that it stands out is, I mean, kind of the majority of the record has a similar sound in terms of how the songs are written. They're kind of more resistant in a way dealing with problems. But that song really has more of a kind of affirmation, positive kind of movement.
Yeah, it definitely has. It's kind of bittersweet. It's got the sadness, but it's also really kind of hopeful. And I think that's what David Kahn liked about it. He heard all the songs and he chose that one to mix, and I think he just liked the kind of mixture of sad and hopeful.
Well, that's cool that you gave him his choice.
Well, I sent him the unmixed tracks after I'd done most of the recording with Andy, just to kind of get, I think I wanted his opinion, just because I value his opinion and wanted to hear what he thought, and he just offered to mix the song because he liked it.
Kind of going back to what I was saying before about, like, it's hard to kind of pinpoint how I want to say the theme of the record, but I feel like it's really well summed up by the title, How to mm-hmm. Walk Away, which is not a track on it, but a line from The Fact Remains.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there was kind of a concept or an attitude that you were going for when you were writing the songs, or does that kind of develop organically?
I never really have a concept when I'm writing or a theme. I just write what I'm feeling at the time, and then a theme, if there is one, emerges later, You know, and I'm still kind of trying to figure out what the theme to this album is, but it seems to be about walking away and how to walk away. I just kind of like the sound of it. And it, like you said, it is a line from one of the songs, and it had a just really nice ring to it on its own, how to walk away. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about being lonely and being alone by choice and just needing to step away from certain situations in order to get some clarity. And I, like I said, I'm still trying to figure out what the themes are.
Yeah.
But you kind of figured it out, yeah.
Well, I couldn't say it, but the title, like I said, really sums it up.
Yeah. It's like going into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, and just trying to get your head straight, something like that.
Cool. Well, I guess to kind of take a look at that and what we're talking about, could you play us another song?
Yeah, this one's called... this one's one of the most dark songs on the album. But I think when you write a really, really dark, sad song, when you play it for other people, it kind of turns the darkness into light because it's like showing... it's illuminating a lot of people's darkness. And so if we're all bummed out together... we can feel like we're not so alone anymore.
That's alternative rock.
Yes. Is it?
That's what I understood it as a younger man.
Okay, so this is some alternative rock for you. It's called So Alone.
All right, there's Juliana Hatfield from Studio A doing the track So Alone. So I want to keep talking about the record. I want to get to that. But I also want to, Jen, who got me in touch with you, She said you've got a memoir coming out.
Yeah, my memoir is coming out in September. My first book. And it's sort of the story of my career in rock. And it's that plus it's a tour diary. It started out as just a very detailed diary of 1 month I spent on tour. And then it became more, I added a lot of history kind of starting out in my first band and moving up through music college and up through the Atlantic years and up until now.
Which tour? Was that the tour that the last record chronicled?
No, it was actually a tour from 5 or 6 years ago. Oh. It took me about 5 years to write the book.
Wow, is it something you wanted to do for a while?
Yeah, I mean, writing a book, I think it's, I've always had this dream of writing a book. I didn't know what kind of a book I would write, but it was just a goal that I had one day, I want to write a book, and I did.
And in terms of, like, commitment and approach, how does that differ from writing songs or writing a whole record and kind of planning to do something like that?
Writing a book is so much harder than writing a song or an album, I think, just because a song, it's a little 3-minute thing that you can sort of finish. It's easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes if a song is difficult, it might take me a few months to write it, you know, a few months of work now and then to finish it. Or I can, you know, you can write a song in a night, but it's like you have this finite little piece that's finished. But a book is a very, you have to sustain the concentration for so long, for such an extended period of time. And it was just, for me, it was really, really, really difficult. And I can't believe how much work it was. Hopefully, if I write another book, it won't be so difficult, because now at least I know how to do it now, you know.
Is there a title for the book? I was just
curious.
Yeah,
the book is called When I Grow Up. Sorry, When I Grow Up.
So there's really, it's just kind of a movement forward. It's got really no end cap on it. It's about
the
waiting
book?
Until when you grow up.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I mean, it's not literally a long story. The book's probably, you know, 300 pages tops, mm-hmm. but it's about finding myself in my mid-30s in another rock club. And sort of like wondering, why am I still doing this? Is this what I want to be doing? Do I want to be in a like dirty, smelly rock club being hassled by the club owner to, you know, use during tickets to get like a certain kind of tequila when I want a different kind of tequila? You know, like it started from that. Like, is this what I wanted my life to be when I started out doing music? And mm-hmm. I just try to sort of explore that and how music and touring can sort of keep a person from maturing, keeps you young in good and bad ways. All the childhood dreams that people have about being, you know, artists and rock stars, and what happens when some of your dreams actually come true, but you still feel like you haven't become an adult and you don't feel like a responsible person, you know, what it's all about, that sort of stuff.
Cool. I noticed you've been doing other writing too. You have a blog that kind of covers a different song. I saw one go up yesterday, actually.
Yeah, I put them up. Do one every Monday.
And just so our listeners know, they chronicle a specific song, and you kind of go into not just the process of making and writing that song, but kind of its relevance to you now, which is
yeah. Well, I don't really have any blueprint for the blogs. I choose one song every week from my vast repertoire, and I took suggestions from people, you know, asking them what songs they'd want to hear about, and so I have this big list of songs that people suggested, and I choose one every week, and I just sort of kind of start writing not knowing what path the piece is going to take, and sometimes I really go off on tangents.
I like it.
Yeah. I just let my mind just wander, and I write about it. And sometimes I talk about the song's inspiration or its origins or, you know, little musical things or what I was thinking about when I wrote it, just whatever.
I know it's kind of early because not everyone has heard these songs that are on this record, but was there kind of like a an influence or inspiration that if you were going to write about these songs that you could say is like the foundation when you started doing this record, especially since it has kind of a different vibe working with one producer and
what do you mean, what sort of inspiration?
I don't know,
like musical?
Yeah, musically. I was just reading one where you talk about My Bloody Valentine and how you were listening to it at that time in your life, and one specific song you just kind of fudged with the last few chords of a My Bloody Valentine song.
Yeah.
Of Only Shallow, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I took the chords and kind of twisted them around.
So I guess it's another way of saying, what have you been listening to lately, in a way?
Well, you know, when I wrote How to Walk Away, I really wasn't listening to any music. It was a weird couple of years when I was just working on the book, and I wasn't listening to much at all. And I was reading more than I was listening to music. And so I don't think there are any particular musical inspirations for How to Walk Away, really. But I think I was just writing about what I was going through, and having Andy Chase as producer was sort of giving up a lot to him, letting him put his stamp, his musical stamp on it. And I wanted that. I wanted someone else's input, because I was just really sick of myself and kind of sick of my music. And I knew the songs were good, but I needed someone else to kind of help me pull them together and make them sound sparkly. And so Andy was a lot of the musical inspiration, I think. I mean, just in terms of the whole vibe.
And now it's a record that's fun for you to listen to, as opposed to hating your music.
Yeah, and I have hated my music in the past, so it's really nice to love an album of mine.
Cool. Can we hear another song from the record?
Yeah. This one is called This Lonely Love, and I'm going to do a really stripped-down version of it. On the album, it's got this riff. It's got a like guitar riff. It's got a piano. It's got Richard Butler. But since it's just me and my guitar today, I'm going to do a very stripped-down version. But I think it's going to be okay, because I think that if a song is well-written, it should be able to be played on one acoustic guitar. That's my theory. So you can be the judge if it works or not.
I broke down on 14th Street. I could have been blind, and you could have been anywhere in the world, but I saw you in my mind in flashing colors in the middle of the night. Don't they say that in the darkness everything is black and white? This lonely love.
All right, that's Juliana Hatfield live from studio. It sounded great. That's a song that could be played on an acoustic guitar.
It's missing this.
That does announce it in a cool way on the record.
Yeah.
And of course, you were saying Richard Butler is on that track.
Yeah, he sings on the backing vocals. Fabulous backing vocals.
Yeah, yeah. Just Richard Butler is fabulous in general.
I know.
That's a cool score.
I know. I feel really lucky to have him on my album.
Anyone else working on the record, like playing on the record? I know we had you were explaining your regular band came from New York.
We got Matthew Cause from Not a Surf to sing a lovely part on a song called Such a Beautiful Girl. And Matthew's voice is such a thing of beauty. I just love it. And we had him do this sort of Fleetwood Mac thing with himself at the end. We had like three tracks of him harmonizing with himself at the end, and it's just really beautiful, I think. We got Tracy Bonham on some violins. Andy played a bunch of stuff, bunch of keyboards. My brother played some piano.
He wrote a song with you, too.
Yeah, he co-wrote two of the songs. He wrote the music for two of the songs, and I wrote the words and the melodies. And he played piano on the songs he wrote with me.
Cool. Just before we get out of here, I want to just talk about some of the other stuff that you've been working on, because you're really busy with the book, and you have your own, this comes out in your own record label.
Yeah.
What's it like running a label in this whole time of adaptation and change for the industry?
It's very confusing and weird, just because the whole industry is sort of unraveling, sort of just expanding in ways, in strange ways that I don't understand. Like, I'm very new to even to the internet, and I only got a computer 3 years ago, and so it's just this fast.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. So I've having a label and, you know, wanting to get my music out there, I've had to sort of have a like ongoing crash course with the world wide web, you know, and it's just a new world that seems so huge that I could never navigate it, you know, and you know, it's a lot of new opportunities, but it's also just tons of work that would never end if you went in there, and you could get stuck in there and just never ending worlds of things to explore. So it's just like confusing trying to figure out what choices to make. And it was easier in the past because it was just about the music. You know, I'd make my music and then the record label would put it out and I'd go on tour. But now I have to sort of think about everything
else.
Yeah.
We got an EP last year, which was you and the band Frank Smith, and that's how I got introduced to them. Are they the only band on the roster right now?
Yeah, I did a licensing deal with them for that, because I was a really big fan of their music, and they were living in Boston at the time. They're in Austin, Texas now. And it just seemed like the right time to work with them. It was a good opportunity for me to sort of see what it was like putting out someone else's record. But it's so much work putting out a record, you know. I don't know when I'll next work with another band. It'll have to be something really special for me to want to get behind it, just because it's such a huge undertaking.
And you think everything you do now you want to put out through your own label?
I don't really think too far into the future, but all I can say is right now, having my own label is working for me right now. You know, there's pros and cons with every situation, you know, with having my own label, with being on a major, being on an indie. There's, you know, good and bad with every situation. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it's good to have this label and to have, you know, to be building up a catalog of stuff that I own, which is a really nice feeling of freedom.
Do you not own the masters from the stuff you did on Atlantic and
stuff? I don't own the masters for the Atlantic stuff or the Mammoth stuff. But most of the Zoe Rounder stuff were 7-year licenses. So a lot of that stuff has started reverting back to me. So I'm owning a lot of that again.
Definitely valuable.
Yeah, it's great. And it's just more, it's not even just the money thing. It's more just like a feeling, freedom to do what I want with my music, and feeling like I've got this solid base of stuff, a catalog, you know. It's like always going to be there, and it's something that I have to show for all my years of slaving away.
Which is like 20 years now, right?
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Wow. And is this...
Or not almost, yes, 20 years.
Well, yeah, for 87 was Blake the first Blake Babies record.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into the whole thing because I'm sure this is a huge question, but how does that feel? I was trying to find out, is this your 10th record? Every place has something different. It's your 10th, it's your 8th.
I'm trying to figure that out. I think it's officially my 10th solo album, but that includes stuff like, there was a live album that I put out a couple of years ago, but only a really limited number of them, and it was only on CD, and it was only for the super fans. And so I'm counting that one as one album.
And the trio.
Julian Highfield 3?
Yeah, those count.
Yeah. So officially the 10th solo album, I think.
That's a big number.
I know.
Well, 21 is a bigger number, I guess, 21 years.
Yeah, it's just, it's all kind of really strange to think of it. It's hard to get my mind around it when you're hit with the numbers. It's just weird. It's hard to believe the time went by so fast.
Well, you've got a body of work that I've really appreciated for a long time. So thanks for stopping by a lot.
Thank you for having me.
And before we close out, I just want to ask you, we usually do a thing when, since you're here, you can pick the next song we're going to play on the radio. So do you have kind of a guest DJ pick or anything?
Anything I want?
Anything you want. We'll find it.
I want you to play a song by Hayden.
Okay. Yeah,
song called that. Off his new album. The song is called Where and When.
All right. So thank you, Juliana.
This has been
Ben Jones on FUV from Studio A. And here's a cut from the new Hayden record. There's a guest DJ pick from Juliana Hatfield. That's new music from Hayden and a song called Where and When. Joe Grimaldi engineered the studio session. Words and music from Studio A is produced by Sarah Wardrup, and you can hear this program again, along with more exclusive interviews and performances in the online archives at WFUV.org. I'm Ben Jones for WFUV in New York.